Crown House, a serial play in 8 parts by Peter Ling and Juliet Ace, starring Jane Asher, Gail Honeycutt, Margaret Rawlings, Dinah Sheridan, Martin Jarvis, Richard Pascoe, and Dominic Rickards. Part 1.
Do you think I made the right choice, Jenny?
It's one of my favourite rooms.
A touch too feminine for my taste. Still, it's inaccessible to Grandmama and far enough away from the screeching twins.
I think you're exaggerating. I've never seen so many books.
My rooms at Oxford are bursting at the seams as well. Do I really need all this junk?
Martin and Miranda might like some of these books. The Teddy, perhaps.
The Bear Stays. And they've rejected all the rest. Grimm's, Hans Andersen, Swiss Family Robinson. Ah, how we wept. Do you remember?
I do, very well. It was very quiet when you all moved to Eaton Square. Just Mother and I, in our flat in the servants' wing, on our own.
Except for Grandpapa and Grandmama, rattling around like 2 dried peas in an overlarge pod.
I don't think you should talk about your grandfather.
All due respect, eh? At least until the funeral's over and done with. What time are we leaving?
In an hour. I shall have to change. If you don't want the books, Miss Duncan would be glad to have them.
There speaks the little schoolmarm. When did you start?
Straight after Standard 7. I was a prefect then. I've been Miss Duncan's assistant ever since.
A working girl, eh? And here's me, still a student. Good Lord. My school cap. And this?
A 5-year diary.
Aunt Edith gave it to me for Christmas. It's unused. Take it.
I don't keep a diary. My life is very humdrum.
What nonsense. Young girls always keep diaries. Start now. April the 21st, 1926. The 9th Earl of Minster was buried in St. Peter's Church, Epony. His widow, Old B, arranged the ceremony so as not to be late back for the 1 o'clock news bulletin on her crystal set. The residence in Eaton Square was shrouded in dust sheets, and the new Earl and Countess and their unruly children departed to the jubilation of neighbours and settled into Crown House.
Everyone's delighted that the family has moved back.
And what about you, Jenny?
I'm very pleased.
Then say so. In your diary. Fill it in every day. Then when I get back for the summer, you can keep me abreast of all the gossip.
Why don't you ask your sister?
Caro doesn't have your sense of discipline.
There you are, Jenny. I'm sorry, sir.
Come in, Mrs. Webster, if you can.
We've got some sorting out to do here, haven't we? Number 3 box room is empty, sir.
Splendid.
I think you should get changed, Jenny. The staff go on foot, remember? Excuse me, Master Nicholas.
Jenny?
Yes?
You won't call me sir, will you? We were brought up together.
Only when we were little.
Nick, all right?
And your brother?
The Viscount? He's just a yokel. Jenny, don't forget the diary.
I hate being gawped at.
They're paying their respects, Mama.
I just hope when it's my turn, I will have deserved their acknowledgement.
Unlike your father, you mean?
I'm sure William didn't mean that. The village was devoted to you both.
Well, I can do without them. I just hope you and Alice haven't got any grand ideas about opening up the house, restoring it to its former glory, as they say. Crown House will just about tolerate your noisy brood and no more.
Thank you, Mama.
Stop sighing, Edith. You'll need all your energy to survive the next few months. Mooning around the place will be a thing of the past.
That's unfair.
Don't look so worried. There'll be very few changes. Just practical things. Getting the garden in order and the farm.
It'll take years.
Not with Richard's enthusiasm. My hope is that when it's my time to go, Richard will have made the farm pay for itself, and that Capability Brown would have been pleased to know me.
Your father hated the land. So do I.
This is more like a wedding feast than a funeral lunch.
All the best wakes are noisy, Mother.
Anyway, Grandpapa was always saying he was ready to go.
And Grandmama's having a whale of a time.
Just the same. The bishop should be where you're sitting, Richard, and you should be where Nick is.
Oh, come on, Ma. He'd have been stuck between the Dean, Aunt Mattie, and Lord Anderson's ear trumpet.
Oh, stop it. Have you sorted out your room, Nicholas?
Jenny helped me.
Oh, Jenny, eh?
It's jolly nice to be eating our own beef again.
They say red meat is bad for one.
Rubbish. Are you eating properly, Caroline?
Of course, Grandmama. Don't I, Pa?
As far as I know.
She's too skinny. There's nothing of her. Why does Alice keep looking at her watch? Our guests will think they've outstayed their welcome. And there's a gap. Who hasn't arrived?
Hawkins?
Yes, my lord.
There's an empty chair.
Sir Charles Bowyer, my lord.
Uncle Charlie, of course.
His radiator boiled over, my lord. He's in the morning room. He wouldn't disturb lunch.
Oh, nonsense. Tell him to come in at once.
Certainly, sir.
Before he drowns himself in sherry. Can't stand the man, neither could George.
I think Uncle Charlie's wonderful. Everyone should have a bachelor uncle.
By the next time you're down, Nicholas, Crown House will have settled into our style of things.
If old B will let you.
One day you'll call her that to her face, Richard.
Good Lord, she's leaving the table.
Don't fuss, William. I'm off to my room. Stay where you are.
Shall I come with you, Mama?
You have guests to attend to, Alice. At long last, I can do as I please.
Which is precisely what she always does.
The National Broadcasting Company beckons. Ah, Uncle Charlie.
Charlie.
My apologies, old dear. Better late than never, eh? And don't look at your watch. It's not my fault the confounded car broke down.
Good to see you. You'll have some lunch, of course.
Well, thank you, William. Just a glass of wine, perhaps. I had a sandwich at the Medford Arms.
Come and sit here, Uncle.
Ah, Nicholas, my dear boy, how are you?
Alice, what's wrong?
It's getting so late. I thought I'd have heard from London by now.
From the palace?
Well, Her Majesty promised to let me know as soon as there was any news. She's been so worried.
Well, that's to be expected. After all, her first grandchild.
It's not only that. There could be complications. The Duchess of York was warned that she might have to have a cesarean.
Get in there. Get in. Give that one a prod, Ted. Move along. Wash these down, will you? Oh, look at this lot. Give us a hand, Nick.
You're in your element, aren't you?
Honestly, I need half a dozen men to set this place to rights. Why don't you join me?
Why not?
I was joking. You're supposed to be the intellectual genius in the family.
It's the role I've been cast in. Caro's got more intellectual spark than I have.
Oh, don't be so serious. You're enjoying Oxford, aren't you? Living life to the full?
Who's to say? You always knew what you wanted, Richard. I envy that.
Well, what you need is the occasional roll in the hay. It concentrates the mind.
I thought it distracted the mind.
Not if you regard it as a reward for effort.
Hello.
Jenny, come to admire my herd, have you?
Oh, just strolling. Mother wanted me in the house. But today is a day off.
The nicest thing Grandpapa did for us. Gave us all a day off.
Not all of us. No days off on a farm. Nick doesn't deserve it. He has a rollicking good time at college. But you, Jenny, you need more sunshine. You need some colour in your cheeks.
Jenny looks perfectly well to me.
Drop by on your way home from school each day. I'll have a pitcher of warm milk ready for you.
I can't think of anything more revolting.
You keep out of this. I shall look after Jenny.
I must go. There's a case to be packed. Don't trust him, Jenny. Nice young girls should be on their guard.
Don't be such a prig. I'll see you at tea. Well, Jenny, will you cope with us all?
Oh, he was teasing. You've made a very good start here.
Well, at least the yard's cleared. I've great plans for this farm, Jenny. I just feel I must live with it for a while. Take stock. Repair the damage. Clear the debris.
If I can help in any way.
What? A frail little thing like you?
Oh, I'm strong. I am, really. But the bookwork, maybe.
Oh, that'd be a help. And you'll come for your milk each day.
I...
Though it seems to me there's a hint of colour in your cheeks already.
Edith? You take milk and sugar?
No sugar, thank you.
Excuse me, Your Lordship.
Yes, Mrs. Webster. What is it?
I thought I'd better bring this right away, sir. The telegraph boy is waiting.
Ah. It's addressed to you, Alice.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I wonder if...
I hate those damn things. Always remind me of the war.
Not this time, Charlie. I am commanded to inform you that Her Royal Highness the Duchess of York has been safely delivered of a princess. It is expected that the baby will be named Elizabeth after her mother. Her Majesty hopes very much that you will be able to attend her at the christening in the private chapel at Buckingham Palace in a few weeks' time.
Just think, the Queen's first granddaughter.
Will there be any reply, Your Ladyship?
No. No reply, thank you.
Very good, madam.
You'll go to the christening, of course.
Would you mind, William? I should like to.
No, of course you must go. You can't miss an occasion like that.
William, Alice, there you are.
Come in, Mama.
You'll forgive this intrusion, but I have something very important to tell you. I have received a special message on my wireless set. On the very day that your papa has been laid to rest, the Duchess of York has given birth to her first child.
Yes, Mama. Alice has just had a telegram from the palace inviting her to the christening. Isn't that nice?
I see. I'm sorry that I interrupted you.
Oh, dear. I don't think you should have said that, Edith.
April the 21st, 1926. It seems odd to begin a diary in April. It's as if the first quarter didn't happen this year. Still, it's a propitious start. A death and a birth, both of great consequence. The funeral of the old Earl was very proper. He was laid to rest with great dignity, and yet there was no sadness, no sense of loss. And the birth of the Princess Elizabeth was welcomed with great jubilation. Well, it's the beginning of a new era for Crown House. Caroline is much better equipped to chronicle all the happenings here. I don't have a feeling for style, nor do I always recognise the humour in a situation. Perhaps keeping a journal will help me to be more aware. At all events, I will never allow Nicholas, nor anyone else, to read it. Dare I write that today I felt an overwhelming surge of feeling towards Richard. April the 30th. My infants gave me such pleasure today. Edwina Bird was chosen as Queen for our May Day celebration. The old maypole has been re-ribboned this year by Miss Duncan. Mother is quite exhausted by her efforts to settle the house into some order. The Dowager Countess, or Old B, as Nicholas calls her, hasn't been seen for days. She prefers to sulk in her own rooms. May the 4th. Richard waits for me on my return from the school. He watches me drain the little pitcher of milk. It's foolish of me to think he feels as I do. And yet... May the 11th. The Times was delivered as usual. The only newspaper to appear, even though the country suffers a general strike. The village seems unaffected. People go about their daily work as ever. Lord Minster has criss-crossed the gardens with white tape. He says it is important to visualise where there should be uninterrupted vistas, avenues of trees, and focal points. The twins think their father has invented some sort of game or cross-country course.
Do you want me to move, William?
I can work round you.
Well, I can move if you like.
No need. Oh, that's very pretty, Edith.
I thought I'd capture the old lime tree before you cut it down.
No, it's in the wrong place altogether. Destroys the sense of space. Still, as long as you've got a record of it.
Alice, my dear, come and see Edith's painting.
Can I put this steak in?
A little more to your left. Little more. Perfect.
I do hope you know what you're doing, darling.
Trust me. Look, take a look at this.
Oh, well done, Edith. Isn't that good?
Thank you. I've been trying to make some plans as well. For the future. I thought I'd like to go abroad.
A holiday? How nice.
No, not a holiday. To live. They say Provence is very lovely. Just right for painting. I could sell my pictures in one of the galleries in Nice, perhaps, or Monte Carlo.
Now, Edith, do try to be realistic. Your pictures are very nice, but you couldn't live on them. They're only a hobby, really, aren't they?
Well, if that's what you think, you can make me an allowance.
No, Edith, it wouldn't be a good idea.
But why not?
I suggest we change the subject. I see in this morning's Times that a lot of young men from the Varsity are up in town learning to drive buses and trains and so on.
They wouldn't take me on the buses because I can't drive. But I suppose this is a bit easier because it runs on rails like a train.
Good God, no! It's not in the least like a train. Notch down, Nicholas. Don't notch up.
Oh, sorry. What I mean is driving a tram must be more straightforward.
Handbrake on. We're heading down the slope now. Don't let it run away with you.
What's happening? We're diving into a hole in the ground.
It's the subway underneath Kingsway, commonly known as the Bunny Run. Slow down, Nicholas. Slow up, for heaven's sake.
Phew. I'm glad we're back in daylight. I wasn't expecting to go underground.
Well, this is where I leave you. Drop me off just before Westminster Bridge.
What?
By the by, that's the electricity brake. I almost forgot. But that's all you need to know. All right, then. Handbrake on. Bring her down to a crawl so I can hop off.
You're not going to leave me to drive this tram on my own.
Just one word of warning. When you get to the depot at Camberwell, watch out for mob violence. They're turning ugly south of the river.
Oh.
Carry on.
Yes, but...
And the best of luck.
Thanks very much.
Is this Camberwell Green? Are you quite sure?
Of course. This is where we turn round.
I thought we'd never get here. You were driving like a maniac round the Elephant and Castle. I kept ringing the bell, but you wouldn't stop.
I couldn't find the electricity brake. It's not easy being a driver, you know.
It's all right for you. You should try being a conductor. Some of the passengers were almost hysterical when they couldn't get off.
Well, it's only my first trip.
Just a minute. What's going on over there? Look, those men coming towards us. My God, they're picking up stones off the road.
Keep your head down.
There. How's that?
A bit better.
It's only a little cut. Must have been flying glass. You're lucky it missed your eye.
What happened to the conductor?
Last I saw of him, he was legging out the new crossroad with the crowd after him. They left you lying there. Probably thought you was a goner. I was watching from the area steps, and when I saw you move, I got you indoors. How are you feeling now?
As if I'd been run over by a steamroller.
Well, you was asking for trouble, driving a tram.
I was trying to do my bit to help.
Help? Strike breaking, more like.
The strikers are trying to bring the country to a standstill. They've got to be taught a lesson.
They're fighting for their bloody lives, and don't let nobody tell you different.
They're blackmailing the government.
You listen to me. My old man's been laid off this past year, so I know what I'm talking about. He's gone to Tilbury this week, unloading the cargo boats. With a bit of luck, he'll be home Sunday with some cash in his pocket.
But if the dockers are out on strike... Then...
The government's paying good money to get the food off the boats before it goes rotten. Jack's been on the dole that long. He'll do anything.
In other words, he's a strike breaker too, like me.
Like you? Don't talk so daft. He's been through it all, Jack has. That's where your precious government's so clever. He's got to swallow his pride now and take whatever he can get. It's either that or starve. But you wouldn't know about that, being a college boy. You don't know you're born, and that's a fact.
May the 29th. I have hardly slept all night, and it is barely 7 o'clock on what looks like the most beautiful day. Richard has invited me to tea in Medford. I must be at the Copper Kettle by 5 o'clock. I am so excited. The general strike is over, thank goodness, and Lady Minster is going to London for the christening of the princess. May the sun shine.
Dearly beloved, you have brought this child here to be baptized. He hath prayed that our Lord Jesus Christ...
Oh, dear, if only the baby would stop crying. The poor Duchess looks quite desperate.
Excuse me, my lady. Ought I to take the princess out and try to quiet her?
You can't remove her while she's being christened.
Shuggling her up and down like that won't do a bit of good. I'd pop in a comforter if she was mine.
I know what you could do. Have you got any dill water?
Yes, but I've never dared.
I think by now they'd be grateful for anything. Look, just give me the bottle and a teaspoon. Your Royal Highness, excuse me, might I just try?
And constantly believe God's holy word and obediently keep his commandments. Dost thou, in the name of this child, renounce the devil and all his works, the vain pomp and glory of the world, with all covetous desires of the same?
Alice, you're a marvel. Look at her now, sleeping like a cherub.
Yes, Flora, all children look angelic when they're asleep.
I saw you fetch that little bottle from the nursemaid, but what was in it?
The Prince of Wales had a bet with his equerry. He said it had to be gin. When I told him what it was, he said that from henceforth I'm to be known as the Duchess of Dillwater.
Alice, you're not rushing straight back to Crown House, are you?
No, as a matter of fact, I'm hoping to stay with my brother in Curzon Street. Why?
Her Majesty would like you to have tea with her. She has something she wants to ask you.
Oh, well, in that case...
Shall I telephone your brother and say you've been delayed?
No, don't bother. He doesn't know I'm coming.
Oh, Lord. Alice. Good heavens, this is a nice surprise. Come in.
I'm sorry, Charlie. I should have let you know, but I've been in such a rush.
I wish you had let me know. I could have told you we haven't picked a very good evening.
You're going out?
Well, yes, later on. How's William and the family?
Much the same as ever, except for Nicholas.
Oh, what's the matter with him? Not ill, I hope?
No, not at all. He came up to London at the time of the strike and learnt to drive a tram.
Oh.
And today we had a postcard from him saying that he's changed his plans.
Yes.
He's decided not to go back to Oxford and not to sit for his exams. He's joined the Navy instead.
Good heavens. Yes, he might have discussed it with you first. Didn't he give you any explanation?
Not a word. It's very worrying.
Yes.
And on top of that, Her Majesty's just presented me with another problem.
Oh, yes.
When William's father died, you know I had to resign from my post as a regular lady-in-waiting because of moving into the country.
Yes.
Well, now Her Majesty's asked me if I will go on the occasional list. Well, that means that the palace can call on me when the regulars are on holiday or under the weather or anything.
Yeah.
It was nice of her to ask me, wasn't it? I felt I couldn't very well refuse. Oh, I do hope William won't mind.
Yes.
Do you think I've done the right thing, Charlie? Charlie?
Ah, sorry, old girl. I don't want to appear inhospitable, but I must ask you to excuse me. I'm going out to dinner, sir.
That's right.
Yeah.
You go and enjoy yourself. I'll have something on a tray. And don't feel you've got to rush back on my account. I shall probably go to bed early with a good book.
To bed? But you can't.
Charlie, whatever is the matter? You're looking quite flushed. Aren't you feeling well?
I'm perfectly well. The fact is, you see, I already have a house guest staying here.
That sounds very un-English. A house guest. You've been picking up American slang.
Yes, perhaps I have.
Anyway, where is he?
Who?
Your friend. Aren't you going to introduce me?
Well, to be perfectly honest, my guest is taking a bath. We have to change before we go out, you see.
Charlie, it's so smart of you to have emerald green bath towels. Don't you think they suit my... Well, hello. And who might this be?
This is my sister Alice, Lady Minster. Alice, this is a very good friend of mine, Gina Hanson.
How do you do, Miss Hanson?
If I'd known you'd be here, I'd certainly have worn something a little more formal than a bath towel.
Alice, I was just going to tell you about Gina. We have some rather exciting news.
Let me tell. Charlie and I are going to be married. Isn't that simply divine?
Shall I serve you, miss, or are you still waiting?
I'm still waiting. There's probably been a misunderstanding.
Yes, miss.
Perhaps I'd better order tea. Just a pot for one.
You've looked downstairs, have you?
Oh, no. I didn't think.
What's your friend like?
You've probably seen him. He's from the big house at Ebony.
Oh, he's downstairs, right enough. Shall I ask him to come up?
Oh, yes.
Jenny.
Hello. Nick. Oh, what a coincidence. What's the uniform?
Do you like it? I'm a midshipman in His Majesty's Navy.
Goodness, what a surprise. You'll be able to tell Richard as well. We're having tea.
Richie couldn't make it, Jenny. Sends his apologies. That's why I'm here.
Oh. I see.
I jumped at the chance. I wanted to see before I leave. I'm off to Dartmouth in the morning.
Are you? How sudden. Was Richard held up at the farm?
You could say that. You know my brother. If a pretty girl presents herself, he makes hay while the sun shines.
I see.
I will write.
Perfectly.
I've been rather tactless, haven't I? I'm sorry. I didn't realize.
May the 29th, which started so well, is a day I'd rather not remember.
Jane Asher was Jenny, Margaret Rawlings, the Dowager Countess of Minster, Richard Pascoe, William Earl of Minster, Dinah Sheridan, Alice, Countess of Minster, Martin Jarvis, Richard Viscount Ebony, Dominic Rickards, the Honourable Nicholas Gaunt, and Gail Honeycutt was Gina Hanson in the first episode of Crown House by Peter Ling and Juliet Ace. Lady Edith Gaunt was played by Barbara Atkinson, Lady Caroline Gaunt, Cara Kelly, Sir Charles Bowyer, Geoffrey Matthews, Lady Flora Kelso, Margaret Ward, Mrs. Webster, Eva Stewart, the Archbishop, John Sampson, the nursemaid, Diana Olson, the instructor, Philip Sully, the tram conductor, Richard Tate, and the Cockney girl was Alice Arnold. Crown House is directed by Graham Gauld.